R2 bleeped an alarm, and I gasped at the shock of cold and threw my arms around the droid to steady both of us. The cockpit glass slid away, as Nakari had said it would, and the ship began to sink more rapidly into darkness as the desert jewel filled with water. Nakari joined me on the other side of R2, her damaged left hand overlapping mine, and together we pushed off from the deck and escaped the ship in a fountain of bubbles. Unlike said bubbles, we didn't rise. R2's weight was dragging us down despite my frantic kicking. Nakari placed her right hand, which held the emergency raft, directly under R2 and activated its automatic inflation. The compressed canister inside released its gases, and a large raft billowed underneath us, folding my legs underneath me and supporting R2 and Nakari as well. Our descent halted, turned into a slow ascent, and quickened to an alarming pace as the raft inflated fully. Halfway to the surface, I realized that Drusel wasn't on the raft with us. And a moment later, I realized that breaking the surface wouldn't be a gentle exercise. We shot out of the sea, and I was thrown several meters in the air. R2 stayed put, being so much heavier and centered on the raft. But Nakari flew even higher than I did. We both landed back in the sea, leaving R2 temporarily alone on the raft. A hand grabbed my tunic and lifted as I kicked for the surface. It was Drusel. We emerged next to the raft and held on. And I smiled in relief when I saw Nakari surface a moment later. She returned my grin and pulled herself up into the raft.
Good flying, pilot.
Hey now.
I mean it. Was still alive and close to shore.
She scrambled over to our side and helped us aboard.
Yeah, but we have no way to get to the rendezvous point. One thing at a time. Getting to shore is all I need right now, and I have a chance of making it, so I'm content. We made it, Luke.
A low throbbing whine from above directed our eyes to the sky, where we saw the black flying toast ship descend on its repulsors and hover perhaps 4 meters above the center of the lagoon, water rippling underneath it. It was a safe distance away from us. We couldn't get to it without a pair of oars and tremendous effort, while all its pilot had to do to us was pull the trigger. The cockpit of the ship was barely discernible, tinted as black as the rest of it. Even if Nakari was to get her slug thrower into position for a shot, she wouldn't know where to aim, and the bounty hunter was sure to have shields up anyway. "Every time you say we made it, something bad happens," I said.
"Correlation isn't causation," she replied. "But, yeah, damn."
A flat mechanical voice broadcast from the black ship.
"Do not touch your weapons,"
it said.
"You will proceed to the shore, where the gibbon..."
Without warning, something truly massive erupted from the lagoon underneath the ship, jaws yawning wide and treating the bounty hunter's ship precisely like the toast it resembled by engulfing it. We heard a squawk from the bounty hunter over his speakers and saw a belated attempt to escape, but the ambush was perfect, and he disappeared into the maw of a beast that appeared to be an eel of epic proportions. We could tell that he had begun to fire his blasters before the creature plunged back into the depths. But he would never be able to escape that carcass, even if he killed the monster from the inside. Admiral Akbar's warnings about the planet were well-founded. Our crash landing and subsequent ejection had no doubt attracted the attention of the Predator. A side effect of the beast's appearance was 2 impressive waves, one for its emergence, and another following afterward caused by its re-entry. Both of them lifted us and propelled us toward the shore. Nakari's eyes danced, and her eyebrows waggled at me as we cruised onto the beach. But she kept her lips pressed together tightly in a barely stifled smile as we helped R2 onto the sand. Once we all had our feet firmly planted on the shore, she said,
"What did I say, Luke?"
I stretched out my arm in panic. No, don't say it again. Nakari pumped her fist and shouted,
We made it! Woo!
And that's when the slower ships I had seen on the scanner before our crash arrived in the sky above the lagoon, searching for us and banking around, their wings bristling with weapons. There were six of them.